Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey fam, I'm Jada Pinkett Smith, and this is the Red Table Talk podcast. All your favorite episodes from the Facebook Watch show in audio, produced by Westbrook Audio and iHeartRadio. Please don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah! We have a legend in the house.
The one and only Fat Joe.
We're gonna make history.
He has lived an unbelievable life.
You know, I got shot in front of my mother. Boom, I get hit. Boom, I get hit. Oof. I was always a good person doing bad things.
And that's what I love about you. You just keep it real. And you've been married 27 years.
What attracted you to her?
No disrespect.
Here we go.
Yeah, I like the fat ass.
Wow. He has so much wisdom to share. I heard Lil Wayne gave you some advice before you went to jail.
He said, we want to put you in solitary confinement. And I said, Joe, don't fold.
We've lost some serious talent in the rap world. What's your take on that?
I never flew nowhere for no interview in my life. This morning on the way here, came out my hotel, the door opened, and it was Kanye West. And grabbed his shoulder, I said,
ooh.
Joe cracked the door,
This gonna be fun.
Excited.
Yes, we got the one and only here today. We have a legend in the house. He has lived an unbelievable life and has so much wisdom to share. He's been called a gangster and a gentleman. From the projects to prison to private planes, what a life he has lived.
Fat Joe is an icon.
Yeah!
The Grammy-nominated, multi-platinum selling artist, author, and entrepreneur has been called the GOAT of hip-hop storytelling.
Now lean back. Lean back.
Joe has not only worked with some of the biggest stars, Jay-Z, Eminem, J-Lo, Diddy, Ashanti, Lil Wayne, and Cardi B. He discovered DJ Khaled, who he now calls his best friend. But success did not come easy for the man born as Joseph Antonio Cartagena. Now he's pulling back the curtain on his fast and furious life and biggest lessons in his new memoir, The Book of Jose, a raw and inspiring story of survival.
Let's welcome to the Red Table, the one, the only, Fat Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. What's up, y'all? What's good?
It's so good to see you.
Nice to meet you.
What's up?
So glad you're here.
What's going on? Where y'all sit over there?
Yes.
First of all, y'all trapping out the back of the house. I gotta tell them, I never seen a setup like this. I'm like, yo, they getting money in the back, y'all. That's when you made it, right? Like you, I'm honored though. When I woke up this morning to see y'all, I was like, oh, we're gonna make history this morning.
Well, we're honored to have you.
Yeah.
We really are. You got so much wisdom to share. You start this book by saying you hope people can learn from
That's
your mistakes, right? That's what it's all about, Joe. I think people have to understand sharing your biggest mistakes are not easy. It is a level of vulnerability, mm-hmm. but it is of great service. And that's what I love about you. It's like, mm-hmm. you just keep it real. It's just so important.
Us youngins can definitely learn something from your incredible journey as well.
Like. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Let's talk about some of your biggest mistakes and the lessons that you've learned from them. Yeah.
So Fat Joe was a really bad guy at one time. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Tell me what you thought made you a bad guy, though, Joe. Because I would say you were a good guy who might have done some
bad things. It was predator prey where I was from. It was a real bad place. When I was 12 years old, I need y'all to put a clip of this up. The Bronx looked like a war zone. We had no parks. We had no playgrounds. The buildings were like, people lived in abandoned buildings.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just I don't know how else to explain it to you. We would play on pissy mattresses with stray dogs. I do remember staring out, telling my man Louie, I said, oh no, this ain't for me.
Right.
This ain't for me. And I'm poor. That's all I know is being poor my whole life. I was like, oh no, I'm gonna get rich or die trying.
Yeah.
Joe had a tough time as a kid. When he was about 11, he discovered his first passion, graffiti. Joe was kicked out of 7 different junior high schools for his excessive tagging. But his real trouble started at his 8th school.
I used to get bullied every day. I would walk out the front door of the school, drop my bags, and it'd be on. A mob of 20 guys would surround me, and I would punch the toughest one in the face. That would set it off. The rest of them would just pound me out till I got on the bus. This happened for around 2 years. Outside of immediate family and a few friends, I felt like the whole world was against me. Leonard was my best friend. One day the bullies come up to him and say, yo, what you doing with this guy? If you don't beat him up with me,
we gonna beat you up.
And what's crazy is he didn't even think twice. He beat me up with them.
Wow.
Right? And that was
That's a deep psychological and emotional wound.
At that point, my heart just turned black. Mm-hmm. And I remember crying and just tying my boots. And I was just like, I'm giving it to everybody.
Yeah.
I don't care no more. That's it. That was like my last straw at the Sweet Joe.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? It was like, that's it. Like,
like
everybody's gonna
happen,
get it.
Right.
And in that process of turning into Joey Crack, some good people got hurt along the line.
Okay, Joey Crack. Where did that name come from? Joey Crack.
The way I got Joey Crack was before the drug crack. When the teacher would ask me to go to the chalkboard and write something, I always had like sweats like I'm wearing out and the crack of my ass would show. And so the girls would be like, oh, Joey Crack. And it just stood my name. I had it. I made it my graffiti name and then it turned
got
into
it.
My rap name.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you left home at 14.
14, wow.
Wow. 14.
Scary, too. Scary.
And just on your own.
Yes. What happened with me was I had a beautiful mom's. My father was real tough, but he was a hard worker. My father never used drugs. And what he did, we had a lot of tough times with him. And this day, you would have got him locked up.
No!
You know what I'm saying? Like, in this age, he's in jail.
Right.
Like, forget about it.
Right.
We could have diagnosed him with everything. He come home after being drunk and playing poker and losing all his money. And my moms would wake up 3 in the morning, cook him a steak, cook him some food.
Wow.
And he would eat it and be like, it's too much salt, and throw the plate against the wall.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a kid watching this type of stuff. You mean, to this day, my kids, who are grown, have never even seen me argue with my wife.
Right.
This guy, he was doing the most, right? And so we would bump heads. He turned out to be a great man. And the reason I say that, if my mother caught cancer, they gave her 1% to live. They cut her from ear to ear. Mm. Her head was this big. She came out talking to the machine. And my father stood with her through the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, most men, they run away at stuff like that. But he liked to hit. He was abusive. He was on that type of time. This is back then.
Yeah.
Right? And then one day, my father went to hit me. We was eating, and I caught it. Mm. Boom. And then he went to kick me. I grabbed his legs. I had him, like, hanging upside down. So I was a big 14. So I tell him in Spanish, you can't f*** with me no more. You can't f*** with me no more. And so I let him go. I don't hit my father. But I immediately ran out to the staircase, and I just cried like a baby. I was so hurt for myself, for what I had done to my father. I was so ashamed and embarrassed that I ran to the staircase and kept crying. And I said, I can't be here. Yeah. Like, I was like, I can't. You know, I violated my father. I got to go. And I immediately started hustling the next day. I was living in a crackhead hotel. To where you pay $35. Mm-hmm. They're shooting heroin and the AIDS epidemic at the door. Mm-hmm. They're busting people's heads open. I would act tough, but I really wasn't that tough.
Yeah.
But Joe says being out on his own toughened him up real quick. He became a ruthless dictator, running the streets with his crew, known as the Terror Squad.
I was a young savage with a loaded firearm in my hand. That really is a combustible combination. I've robbed a lot of people in my day. I've mugged modest, honest, hardworking citizens, unfortunately. I've pilfered the pockets of the most nefarious criminals walking the streets. I was literally a kid when I became a stick-up kid, 14 years old. We sold a lot of drugs and made a lot of money.
Wow.
The type of disrespect we was doing out there was foul. Yeah. It broke my mother and father. You know, I got shot in front of my mother.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shot in front of my mother.
Talk about that a little bit.
We was getting money, a lot of money. And this is the lesson in this.
Mm-hmm.
One time I had gave this kid from my block $10. $10. And I would pick on this guy. Every time I see him, I'd be like, yo, you got my $10? You got my... I got 30,000 cash in my pocket.
Right.
You don't know how people think or how scared or intimidated they are or fragile they are. So one day we go July 4th, we got a picnic, a barbecue. We over there 100 deep.
Yeah.
100. I had 100 guys with me. I'm thinking I am the toughest guy in the universe.
Right.
Not even, like, forget about it. You know,
right.
If we had this project fight against my project, I would be the guy to be like, hold up.
Right.
One-on-one. Pull out the best guy. Let's go. And no, this the type of time I was on. Like,
right.
Hold up. The whole project is like, chill. I'm like, yo, crack. Pull out your best one. Let's rock and roll, baby. Right? So I was on that type of time, right? And so I turn the corner. Here's this guy. He got a trench coat on. It's 100 degrees. It's July 4th. And he's looking at me.
Mm.
Right? Like, demented. I'm like, so I went to the store, I bought a Diet Pepsi. That's my drink, but at that time it was glass. I don't want to scare you ladies, right? But so I come out, that's when I see him. He looks like demented or something, right? But not enough. He's demented, but not enough. So again, what you doing here? This. We going back and forth. He pulls out the gun. As he pulls out the gun, I'm still, who the you? Who you think this? So I hit him in the head. I smashed his head with the bottle I had in my hand. It's so hard, you see the sawdust in the air. And then the white meat start getting red.
Bless your head
now,
to the white
I told
meat.
You, he was demented, but not enough.
Right.
But me hitting him pushed him over the edge and gave him that extra. He looked at me and laughed. He said, I needed that.
Ooh.
He cocks this thing back. Like, he's so far away from me, I can't jump on him or nothing like that.
Right.
So I got to run. So as I'm running, the whole world slows up like it's Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
I'm running like this. And I'm looking back, and you see the shells going. Like, in real life, this ain't a movie. It was like...
Right.
And I'm looking back, and the bullets is going. Right? Now, I have two guns in my car. Plus 100 guys around the corner, okay? As I'm running, I had to make a decision. Now, if I run right through here, I get to the car.
Right.
He's not gonna hit me.
Right.
But if I run through here, There was a bunch of little kids playing there. And that one split second that I said, nah, Joe, you got to go the long way. Boom, I get hit. Boom, I get hit. The second I said, I'm not going to run through these kids. He's shooting, he hits me twice. My mom's just standing there. She's looking at me. My whole shirt, white T-shirt is red. And I'm looking at my mother and I'm running past her to the car trying to get to the guns. When I finally get to the guns, I go, ooh, I never felt nothing like that. I got woozy. I couldn't pick up the guns. So my Uncle Will drives me to the hospital. I get in the hospital. They start cutting my clothes immediately the minute I walk in. I'm thinking I'm gonna die. I've never been shot before or nothing.
And what was your lesson in that, Joe?
Don't bully nobody. Right? You also, the other lesson is, you could be with 100 guys, but when you turn that corner, you're alone. You know, that's a big lesson to learn.
Well, when did you make the turn from being part of the problem to being part of the solution?
Well, I think I was always a good person. Like she said, you was a good person doing bad things. I always had a clean heart and was trying to look for a way out. And my man Diamond D, you know, digging in the crates, he said, man, Joe, you're gonna die out here. He said, you should put this in your music.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
And leave the streets. My attention started to wane from hustling. I was disgusted by all the violence
And the truth is, I started to witness the possibilities of another better life.
At age 21, Joe entered the amateur night competition at the legendary Apollo Theater in Harlem.
There really weren't no Latinos going up to the Apollo rapping at the time. I told my hood delegates I was going up to the Apollo to try out, and they were looking at me like I was crazy. Yo, bro, you making money, you clicking. The f*** you talking about rapping? Everybody asked.
He was an instant hit, winning first place 4 weeks in a row. Word spread about Joe's magnetic personality and gangster raps. Soon, the head of a major record label offered Joe a deal that changed his life forever.
I just signed it right there. I didn't know shit about contracts either. I was choosing life. I got a $50,000 advance from Relativity. I couldn't believe it. It was proof to myself that I could make big money honestly, without doing crime or risking my life.
Joe, what lesson did you learn after becoming so successful?
When keeping it real goes wrong, you know? And so,
keeping it real.
That could be another name for a book as well.
Yes.
Loyalty is everything to me.
Yep.
It's in my DNA. I'm the last man standing with you. And I go down with the shit,
yes. Right?
And growing up in my neighborhood, you know, when I became successful, I just thought I had to take everybody with me.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of survivor's guilt. And so when you got the lady who used to give you pork chops, she gets sick and somebody calls and says, yo, Joe, she needs a new hip. How are you going to say no to the lady?
That's
right. You know you got millions.
Yeah.
So, you know, you look out and you're just trying to bring everybody along. And so I tried, you know, for many years. Every time you saw me, I had 40, 50 guys with me.
Yeah.
Tough guys. You know, and I wanted to help them and pay their rent, buy them cars and this and this and that. And one day, I can't sleep. It's God talking to me. God sent me a sign. These people, a lot of them ain't really worthy. They wasn't worthy of me taking care of them and wasting my money and wasting, you know, my energy and my time. God told me, yo, man, call all these guys. We in Puerto Rico. We flew over there in two private planes. We had the Four Seasons. These guys popping champagne. So I called them. It was like 40 of us. And I said, listen, I ain't got money no more. I ain't got it. I can't take care of you. These guys I grew up with since I'm a kid, a baby. And 35 of them was like, are you crazy? This is our money. This, if you would have heard the type of story they was talking. And so five of them said, yo, I'm your brother no matter what, whether you're broke or not. Five out of 40.
Wow.
And so I got rid of them. You know, it's a big lesson.
Were your feelings, like, hurt? Like, what was your
heart,
like,
destroyed, devastated. Yeah. Just a lot of letdowns. The way they did me, it was crazy. And I'm the type of guy that you don't do that to.
Right.
So all that just drains you, and it takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
Another crazy story. I go to jail, right? So I was popping since I was 19, okay? And I got nothing but hits, and I'm making money. We popping champagne. The girls think I'm fly. It is what it is. So then I get into some trouble with the taxes, which really wasn't my fault.
At age 42, Joe says he hit rock bottom. His accountant had been stealing from him and hadn't paid Joe's taxes in 2 years. Joe was furious.
You ain't paid none of my mortgages, I asked. You ain't paid none of my bills.
Hey, buddy, don't kill me, buddy.
He said, flustered. Then he started pleading with me.
Don't hurt me.
I never said I was going to hurt you. I insisted, my tone lowering and my demeanor calming. I send you money every month, and you ain't paying my bills? I asked again. Truth was, he was robbing me.
The case cost Joe $5 million plus 4 months of freedom.
So I sit in the cell. This is unbelievable. Like, I was in Saint-Tropez 2 days before. I swear to God, I'm not lying. Right. I was in Saint-Tropez, Nikki's Beach. I'm in this cell. Like,
right.
What the? Chico was here. Right. Taco was here. Like, what the am I doing in this place, right? And it finally hit me. It said, bro, you 40. They took all your money. Window in the cell was getting smaller and smaller. Right. I had to devise a plan. you know. And so when I came out, I went straight to work. And, you know, we came out all the way up. And then we knew the business after that. I knew, yeah, I'm going to open some business.
So would you say that going to jail was a turning point for you?
For sure. Yeah. It made me take my life serious because prior to that, you're running around like, yo, what's up? What's good? Yo.
Yeah, I get it.
You're not taking life serious.
Yep. Yeah. I heard Lil Wayne gave you some advice before you went to jail.
Lil Wayne's my brother, man. One of the saddest things I ever did was go visit Lil Wayne in jail.
Yeah, I know about that.
Not only that, they had him like chained up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, really chained up. Like, Lil Wayne. They had Lil Wayne.
I'm like,
they had him in shackles and all that. They had him like, you know, like he was the killer of all, right? He's my brother, man. He lives across the street from me in Miami. And so I'm walking into the jail and I get a phone call. And it's ugly. The building's ugly. It's just rusty and ugly. It looked like one of them Harry Potter buildings or something. The gate was like so. And so I get a phone call. It's Lil Wayne. About, I had to get myself in at 8 o'clock. It was maybe 7:59. And I was like, yo, Wayne, what's up? He was like, nah, man, I'm just telling you right now, be humble. I said, well, how do you do it? He said, just be humble, bro. Don't go in there on some, just go in there humble. You know, if you be humble, they'll respect you, you know. And then they threw me a curveball because I'm from New York, but my residence is Miami. So last minute, they made me go to jail in Miami where I ain't know nobody. So when I get to Miami, and they said, listen, we have murderers in here. We have rapists in here. We have leaders of cartels because Miami's the hub. Now, they grab everybody and throw it in there. That was the building I was in. I thought I was going to do some Martha Stewart type.
Right.
Pink. You know, knit. You know, I thought I was going Martha Stewart on them, right? They threw me in the darkest building. I'm like, yo, what? So he's like, yo, we never had nobody like you in here. So we want to put you in solitary confinement. But solitary confinement is the biggest punishment you could do for anybody.
Rough.
I'm like, look, I got to be with the people. I'm humble. So they let me go. And I never forget because I pride myself in being a tough guy, never really scared of nobody, like a man's man, right? I don't back down, nobody, right? And so they open the door. There's 2,000 guys, Haitians, Jamaicans, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, 2,000 cock diesel guys. They see me and all together go, It felt like the Game of Thrones, the dragon. And I got intimidated.
Yeah.
For 1 second, I said, Joe, don't fold. You're realer than these guys, Joe. Don't fold.
Yeah. So, Joe, we've lost some serious talent in the rap world. I know you've been speaking on this quite a bit.
The day after Grammy-nominated rapper Takeoff was tragically murdered, Fat Joe posted this on Instagram.
I've been up all night. I ain't sleep. Rest in peace to the young brother, Takeoff. One of the most humblest kids I met of this generation. Now, I do not know the details of why this gentleman was killed, but I could talk from being the eldest statesman of hip-hop. We as a community, we have to move on to a new level of thinking. We have to elevate. We can't sit here saying the white man keeping us down. We got to fight through that and be the great kings and queens that we are. This needs to be a new era of self-love, a new era of community. What's gonna stop these young brothers from getting killed every month? What you're not realizing is that with every young king that you kill, it's another person of hope from our community. What's sad is I don't understand why we hate our own.
You can say that.
And obviously, when you're killing somebody, you're killing your cousin, you're killing your brother. And we got an evil out here. The devil is just really out here right now, like never before.
Yeah.
Look at Nipsey Hussle. This guy was doing for his community, right? So right now, you can say, man, Joe opened businesses. He's always giving back to the community. But if Joe gets killed out there, you'd be like, he was dumb. He ain't had to be there.
Yeah.
Why he ain't stay in the big house? What? And so, damn if you do, damn if you don't.
Over the past couple of years, the hip-hop community has been rocked by a string of deadly robberies.
Unfortunately, there's people in our own community that hate on someone else's success.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, damn, Joe, why you got them diamonds on? But we ain't had
right.
So it was summertime. We ain't having AC. We had to sleep on the floor. When we ran out of toilet paper, we wiped our ass with the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
When we ain't had no meat, we ate eggs and rice.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really break down this poor thing to me because we know it,
right?
And so we try to inspire our community. Look, you can have this. It's attainable.
You said that you were really shook with the murder of PNB.
I wouldn't say shook, but I would say that bothered me
right.
a lot. Here's a positive kid, never bothered nobody. He wasn't into no trouble or nothing. And this kid, you're gonna kill him in front of his wife for nothing.
Right.
What about the kids in there, the ladies in there, the men in there?
Right.
Everybody traumatized. You see the guy get his brains blown out
right.
for no reason. I was talking to Charlamagne. I said, there's some jobs that ain't going nowhere.
Right.
Prostitution
mm-hmm.
was around since Jesus Christ.
Right.
Robin been around since Jesus. I'm gonna be honest with you. There's always gonna be an aggressive person who don't have nothing who's willing to rob somebody.
Right.
So when I talk directly, I like to think Joe could talk directly to the robbers. Listen, man, you could rob them. Why kill them?
Right.
And my thing is, when they step over the line of when they killing, that's another type of evil.
Yeah.
What do we do about all of this violence in the community? I think people just feel so freaking hopeless about it.
I know the key. I know the answer. It's God.
That's it. Grace.
I just feel like we lost a lot of morals. What we gotta do is more mentorships.
Yeah.
There's a lot of black and brown people that got a lot of money these days that we could just invest in the neighborhood coach that we know he's
right.
really the
yep.
good guy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that this lady is really teaching those girls how to dance.
Right.
When you see the real deal, we have to invest in that.
Yeah, when people are really putting in work.
There's a lot of people, you know, trying to help, you know, to get overlooked.
And the truth of the matter is no quick fix. I think you're right, Joe, as far as like just putting back into the community.
I mean, between the killing and also the ODs, specifically in the rap world,
yeah.
I think you're right. I think it's dark times. And I think people just need to feel some sort of hope has always been the thing, right?
Well, I could tell you that Fat Joe has been shot at maybe 30, 40 times, tried to get framed to go to jail, been betrayed a million times, and I never used drugs.
Right.
And I still made hit records, so they lied to the kids and tell them you gotta be high to make a hot record.
Mm.
I still made a hot record, and so I just believe in, you know, dealing with it yourself. God is the checkmate.
Yeah.
I have a funny story for y'all. You know, DJ Khaled's my little brother, and I discovered Khaled, right? And Khaled really is what he is. Positive, love
yeah.
his family, love his kids, love his... He's that. And through the years, he's become even more successful than me. And I've always been happy for him. I've never been jealous of him. But every now and then you ask, God, I thought I was your favorite. Because this guy, he's just too lucky, right? So, nah, he's the most luckiest guy in the world, right? So one day I'm in the house by myself, and I get it. It's God talking to me,
yeah,
and I know it. And so when I understand that, I run to Khaled's house. Because I live 3 minutes away. I go to his house. When I walk through the back, Khaled's in the jacuzzi. I say, yo, Khaled. He's looking at me. I say, I've been talking to God. He jumped up so high and said, God is the greatest, 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 God is great. He wouldn't stop. God is the greatest. I said, this mother knows.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what was the key. And that's the key. At the end of the day, ain't nothing moving like that.
Right.
And so when you got to get faith, you got to become a believer. Nothing is more powerful than God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, another strength of mine is women. Like, I'm surrounded by women, strong women.
I'm glad
tougher
you brought
than any
that
army.
Up. Come on, Joe, right, now okay. speak on that.
That's what I'm talking about. The girls protect me.
I know
they
do. But
they're
you
like
know
this.
What? You do the same for them.
Oh, yeah.
That's what makes it a beautiful, beautiful relationship.
That's a fact. Hold my sisters down, you know? That's the story of my life. having strong sisters around me, powerful sisters, and I get in the middle of certain arguments. I'm the brother that looks out for the sisters.
Right.
Somebody had asked me, yo, why'd you jump out and defend Ashanti like that? I
love that you did that.
But listen, this guy who's a friend of mine, he said, yo, you Ashanti?
See, that's what I'm saying, Joe.
I'm sitting here like flabbergasted. Like this was like, you know, blasphemy or some right? Because she's been my sister 20-something
years.
Right? Herb, my brother, I'm not even going to lie to you. I love him. He came for me at a time of my life. I'm not trying to disrespect Herb. I'm talking about the situation.
That's right.
With somebody I considered one of my brothers was like, yo, you f***ing up. I was like, are you crazy? Like, that's my sister. And then I noticed when I started telling him that's my sister, his whole face calmed down and said, wow, she really is his sister.
Yeah.
Like, hey, no, I seen the whole face change. And he was like, oh, it ain't. I'm like.
But for you, Joe, it might seem normal.
Me personally, I give no perv vibes.
Right. Well, like, no, that's what I'm
J-Lo's
saying.
J-Lo's my sister. She never saw me look at her ass when the whole world was talking about her ass.
Right.
None of my girlfriends, my wife's friends, none of them get that vibe.
And you've been married 27 years.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Is this your wife?
That's my girl.
Let's talk.
She loves you.
Let me tell you.
She told me to tell you she loves you.
Tell her thank you.
That's my hot Latina mama. You see?
Yes.
Goddamn, she walked through that motherfucker like, oh, shit. He got one, goddamn.
Let me tell you.
She walking on my wall. Like, ooh, my God.
What I respect is that you guys have been able to do what you do, the marriage thing for 27 years, as we know, that's not easy. You know what I mean?
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
Came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
It is hard. I want to talk about your wife just for one second.
Let's talk about it.
We see that she's gorgeous, but what are those characteristics about her that you feel like make you strong?
Yeah. And that attracted you to her.
No disrespect. Can we just say no disrespect?
No disrespect.
Here we go.
Yeah, I like the fat ass.
Right. Okay. Well,
and so, hold up. Is this wrong now? Yo, hold up. Yo, now you want me? Hold up. I'm going to break. Can I break this? Can I break this down?
Yeah, break it down.
Hold up.
Break it down. Break it down. Let's give him a minute.
This is before I had any money. I had nothing.
Right.
Right. Let's be clear. I didn't have a dollar, nothing. I'll tell you the whole story. She moved to Miami because she had an ex-boyfriend who used to beat her up the time. She was so scared of him, she moved to Miami. Just so happens, I'm going to Miami with my man Steve Lobel. So he said, yo, I got some girlfriends coming. I was like, yeah, you got some girlfriends? He was like, oh, they are definitely not talking to your fat ass. Like, you better leave that. Like, she don't like broke dudes, fat dudes. Like, you are all the way out, right? So we pull up. We in the van. The light of the van flashed right on her ass.
Oh, my God.
Hold on, hold on. Let me get this.
Her face.
Oh, my God.
Let me say, can I say something?
No.
I never seen nothing like that, right?
So
I'm from the Bronx. I never see. I jump out the car. She turned around. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I could not believe how beautiful. She was even more beautiful. So I looked. I said, oh, my God. You're beautiful. Like, you know, it came out the mouth.
Right.
We in Miami for like a week or two.
Right.
So I keep trying. Then I convince her. I said, can I take you to the movies or something? She said, listen, I don't like guys with big mouths. Mm. If I let you take me to the movies, don't say shit. So I went to the movies. We made out for the first time. It's a beautiful thing. She's dry. I used to love that. She was a gangster. She drive the car. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She drive the car. I'm just sitting on the side like, and she driving gangster and shit. My leg up. I'm like, yeah, right? So she drops me back off. God. I run and tell all my whole crew.
So do exactly.
The Colombian chick. Oh, my God. Slobbed her down.
Oh, my God.
Kiss me here. Like, I'm like. All of a sudden, she don't answer my calls. She ain't calling me back.
Mm-hmm.
I finally see her. So I'm like, yo, what's up? Where you been? She said, I told you I don't like guys with big mouths. I was like, so at that point, I could have lied. I never been with a girl like you. Like, what are you talking about? I'm sorry. I can't believe it. We were good. 3 days later, we get back to New York. I'm driving around Manhattan with her. And she's like, yo, let's get a drink. So I pull over at a bar. It was an Irish pub by Wall Street. So as we walking in, she goes like this. And she stiffs up. Now look at her. Her ex-boyfriend happens to be at the bar. You can't make this up. She stiffed up, like out of fear. The guy turned around, looked at me, and looked down at the floor. I said, he'll never say nothing to you again. Let's go. We kept walking. He never said no again.
Right.
He knew what time it was, right? The last phase of the story is me and my son's moms had recently broke up. Really my fault, completely my fault. She was a great woman. She's a school teacher, smart. I was just too young, running around, wilding every day. You know, back in the days, you used to write the number on the paper.
Yeah.
Every day she'd go in my pocket, 60 numbers come out. The next day, same thing. That was terrible. When we broke up, I said, you could take whatever you want in the house. And boy, did she take everything. I mean, every furniture, every TV, every painting. I was left with a mattress on the floor. Then I had this big robe, and I would use it as the curtain so the sun won't hit me. And I had a boombox. That's it.
Right.
So I walked my wife into there, and she's like, what the f*** is this? She said, this is where you live? I was like, yeah, this is where I live. I'm on hard times. She was like, and she started out with me. And then she had girlfriends who used to tell her, you talking to this fat guy, he broke, he ain't got, what are you doing? She'd be like, nah, I know my fat boy gonna make it. I know my fat boy gonna make it.
She's a rider.
Yeah, that's why she get whatever
and
she wants. Yeah,
she ahead. Ain't take your
Oh no, she still don't.
And that's why.
Listen, let me tell you something.
That's what makes her dope.
She's serious. And so I could tell everybody.
And she's fine.
Oh, she's bad.
You got a triple
but
threat.
The deal me and her made was if I get rich, if anything happened to this, we never gonna change on each other. We're gonna be with each other forever.
That's it.
And that's what you're talking about, loyalty.
And of course, you know, and I'm telling you right now, Red Table, nothing is perfect. Nothing is easy. You gotta work through everything.
Yeah. It's like she could see your heart. She could see you.
Like, yo, she ain't gonna fold on me. And even when I went through the tax problems, and I spoil her, because we came from nothing. She got Birkins, all type of diamonds, all type. She's doing it. Too good. You understand? Too good. I think they got a stash closet somewhere, a whole nother apartment for clothes. Willow, we know those tricks. The guys know those tricks. There's no way the money she spends adds up to the closet in the house.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
21, about to turn 22.
Oh, well, you 21, 22. My daughter's 16. She checks me every second of the day. She says, yo, you can't say that.
Yeah, That's how she was just doing that to me out there.
So my daughter turned 16, and there were some flowers at my house.
Aww.
So they called me and said, some boy sent the flowers. I pulled over the car. The last time I did this when Michael Jackson died, then I had to pull over for like 20 minutes. Started hyperventilating in the car, like, I had to go through that and get home. Who's the flowers? Well, in any case, she got a friend, right? So she goes, you know, this little boy likes her. It's different, bro. It's different when you go. It's your little girl. You love more than life. He's a nice kid.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. She's gorgeous.
So cute.
She's older now, though. She's 16.
Oh, my goodness. I love that picture.
Right? Yeah. And so people come at me. They want fixed marriages. We want my son with your daughter. Rich, rich, rich people. Like, I'm like, yo, she's 16. Then they turn around and be like, yo, but we rich. And so I'm like, and we rich, too. What you talking about? She don't need like, don't she look like she's doing good? Like, what I could tell the girls, not in your position or my daughter's position, is you got to level up.
Yeah.
You got to get a guy who knows what the future is.
Yeah.
Because if you get with a guy who thinks the projects is cool, then that's your life.
Right. Yeah. So whatever, you got to really check that mentality. And that goes on both sides.
Yeah. Yeah,
for him and for her.
For sure.
So our RTT fam heard you were coming, and they were super excited, so.
Hi, Red Table Talk and Fat Joe. My name is Gigi Grumbacher. I'm a singer-songwriter. And my question for you, Fat Joe, is if you could bring back two people who have passed on, who would they be and why?
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, if it's just music, it would be Biggie and Big Pun.
Right.
You know, oh, my God. Like, these guys died so young, and they're my good friends, man, my brothers, man. My best time at life is when I discovered Pun and we went through everything. We got rich together. We got famous together. Big Pun was funny, and he was so crazy. And so they used to call me the fun killer. Like, I'd come and I'd be like, yo, what y'all doing? You crazy? Come on, get out of here. Like, these guys were like a hot mess, right? Biggie was my brother since day one, too. Such a beautiful guy. Like, he didn't have to pass away. It's really sad.
Absolutely. I feel you on that, for sure. So social media influencer AJ has a question for you as well.
Yo, Fat Joe, what it do, man? Huge fan. Hey, been rocking with you since the beginning. Shout out to the BX. My question for you is, With you being a mentor and an elder statesman in the game, someone that everyone looks up to, what advice would you give to Kanye West for the things that he's been saying and everything that's happening to him right now?
I tell y'all something. I was up a whole night going over what he said, and I was just like, damn. I mean, he really did it this time. And so I was just thinking about it and how he hurt people with his statements and his comments. He really said some terrible things. And this morning on the way here, I came out my hotel, the door opened, and it was Kanye West by himself. And we talked for about an hour. And I said, you know what, Ye, man? You do church. There's no more powerful person than God. Sit down, talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
I said, listen, Ye, there's people that love you. I told him just like this. I grabbed his shoulder. I said, well, God is telling me to tell you this. And I just told him, bro, you got to snap out of this, man. You got to get focused and look to God, because God is the answer. God is the key. Whatever you got to do, he just got to make it right with himself, make it right with everybody he offended and he hurt, and just live whatever life we have left in peace.
Yeah.
That's all we could pray for, that, you know, he finds that. The only person who got that answer for Kanye right now is God. Ain't nobody else. It's just God. So my thing is, you preach in that church, you around holy people, you around people who know way better than me. What I'm telling you is, look to God.
Look to God.
Because he's the only person that can straighten this out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, thank you. Thank you so much. This was really...
very interesting.
This was
conversation.
A cool one.
Yeah. Yeah, because we really... I mean, Joe, honestly, we could talk to you all day.
I know.
And everybody, don't forget, go out there and buy that book.
To join the Red Table Talk family and become a part of the conversation, follow us at facebook.com/redtabletalk. Thanks for listening to this episode of Red Table Talk Podcast, produced by Facebook Watch, Westbrook Audio, and iHeartRadio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.